Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Want to remind you to join JJ and Alex coming up on Wednesday from 3 to 6 at the Dish Pros, 8034 South State in Midvale. Go hang out with Ryan. They redid their offices a couple of years ago. You've been out there
recently? I haven't been since they've done it.
It's really nice.
Yeah. No, it's cool. I've always liked going down and hanging out there.
That's a great remote to drop by. Plus, it's in the middle of the valley, so it's close to everything. Dan Bickley is going to join the show coming up at 11:30. He's a columnist down in Arizona. He's also a radio host on 98.7 FM, which is a sister station of ours. So we're excited to talk to him.
Dan's the guy down there. Every media market has the guy. He's the guy.
He's the guy.
He's the guy.
And he's coming on our show?
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to him. You know, it's Softy up in Seattle, and we've got all the guys.
I don't think Softy is a guy, but
he's the guy.
I hear you.
I mean, he was the guy in Seattle, right? Or Ian Furness is the guy.
He still is, but Softy's a radio bozo.
But Dan's like a columnist and a radio guy and does everything. He's touches all parts.
I see.
Yeah, he's everywhere. So excited to talk to Dan. Look, this is a huge deal. This is what you position yourself for. There's actually some funny connections about what Ryan Smith is doing with the Utah Jazz roster and what Ryan Smith is doing with the state of Utah as a landing spot for a professional sports franchise. And obviously he's focused on the NHL while the Millers are focused on Major League Baseball. That be flexible. Leave yourself a ton of flexibility. And when the opportunity comes to strike, be the most obvious answer. You know, on the court, in basketball, the Jazz are hoping that Giannis Antetokounmpo this summer asks for a trade. Because they get bounced in the first round, it's a disaster, and he says, I've given you my time, I've given you my title, and I want to go play somewhere else. And the Jazz say, well, here's 7 first-round draft picks. And when it comes to hockey, Ryan Smith is saying, I've created a space for you, we're ready to play tomorrow, you want to get rid of your hockey team, we'll buy it from you. Here's $800 million or $1 billion, whatever it costs. I've got it set up, and the NHL is going to be welcome and happy here. It's the exact same thing he's done. And it's not fun on the basketball court. It's going to be far more fun when we see this happen, and I suspect it is going to happen with this Arizona team.
Ryan believes in this, state market. I mean, I'm sure he believes in it all, but specifically, you know, this is a great place to live, and, you know, he's in that tech world, which is really become a great tool or a great asset for us as a community, and believes in the growth and all those sorts of things. And I see it 100%. I think Major League Baseball and hockey see it. And the Jazz have proven to be a great NBA franchise. You know, I know you love the Tampa Bay Rays, Ben. They are a constant problem.
Yeah, there's 40 fans.
Constant problem for Major League Baseball.
They're mean to you if you go to the
game. Heaven forbid you wear a White Sox hat to a game the White Sox aren't even playing. They'll get after you.
They will come after
you. Big time. But they're a constant headache for Major League Baseball. The Coyotes have become a constant headache for the NHL. The Jazz have not been a headache for the NBA for 1 second.
Yeah, maybe in New Orleans they were for a little while.
In that way, of course. But never been lack of support. Larry Miller got the building built. Like, all the things. They have been a plus for the NBA, not a minus. The second edition of the Charlotte Hornets has been a headache for the NBA since they were the Bobcats in their initial season.
Yep.
I mean, you know, you think of these franchises that are just constant headaches. And the Jazz have never been that. And I think this community is going to grow. I mean, you look at the projections. It should be one of the, you know, I don't know. I talked to David James about this off the air randomly, but we were talking about the Midwest. Like, Chicago's not growing anymore. You know, Detroit's not growing anymore.
California's shrinking. Right? California, like, people are leaving California.
Isn't growing anymore. Portland isn't growing anymore. Seattle might be. I don't know. I have to look into it a little bit deeper. And there's a lot of reasons. And I know that people get partisan and political on this sort of thing, or blame one thing or another. But it's a lot of reasons.
We've just turned the machine on. Like, our machine is just getting going.
Is just getting going.
And not only are we capable of holding a hockey team, we could hold more.
People around here freak out about water, and I get it. But you know what an advantage Salt Lake has over several markets is? We're further upriver on the Colorado.
As silly as that sounds.
As silly as that sounds. It's 100% a thing.
Yep.
You know, speaking of Phoenix, there's a limit on how big Phoenix can get because they don't have the water.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but Salt Lake's going to grow. I mean, unless we really do something to damage our economy or something, I would think that we are on the up.
And as this whole internet thing isn't a bubble.
But that's the thing. You know, even that, we get to reasons why places are growing or shrinking. Like, if you can work anywhere, I'll tell you this. We have family friends. My dad's college friend, they've kept in touch throughout the years, even though my dad doesn't live in Virginia anymore. And his kids, who are now our friends because we were introduced, they spent, I think, 6 months, maybe even longer, in 2021 because they both all of a sudden were working remotely. Living in different cities across the country, trying to decide where to live. They decided on Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And are currently living here and happy. But it's a great place to live, and people will figure that out. And if you can make a really good living here. Now, I'm a little concerned about our cost of living, because that's a reason that people are moving places like Seattle and Portland and that sort of thing as well, is it costs too much to live there. We got to thread that needle, but I'd bet on Utah. I'd bet on Salt Lake, and I bet these leagues will too.
And I'd bet on sports fans locally.
Yep.
Most importantly, you know, in all honesty, like we just have dedicated sports fans. We have smart sports fans who will pick up hockey, run with hockey, support hockey, and it will flourish here in Salt Lake. And I hope that they can win. But that's so far down the road. We will be happy to have a new franchise. And the truth is, if you support it, good things will happen.
Do people know that Lavelle Edwards Stadium and the Marriott Center are both two of the biggest venues of their kind west of the Mississippi? Like, there are very few football stadiums west of the Mississippi that are actually bigger than Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and even fewer basketball facilities west of the Mississippi that are bigger than the Marriott Center. And BYU on the reg, I'm not saying this every year because I've seen attendance dip, of course, but they're packing those places.
Yep.
That doesn't happen other places.
I think we're learning that more because now our teams are starting to travel east more towards the Mississippi because of the Big 12. Whereas, you know, when you go to the Rose Bowl or you go to some of these huge football stadiums, you're like, oh, well, we can't match that. But then you look at like what a lot of these other, especially basketball, how small a lot of the arenas are that a lot of college basketball teams play. And you're like, oh, man, we've got incredible facilities, both Utah and BYU.
Sure.
Really good facilities.
But fans go is my point.
Yeah.
Like, sheer numbers-wise, fans go. And maybe we don't have the dough to charge, you know, $10 million a suite, you know, like other places do, where, you know, in San Francisco, they can charge whatever they want for those Golden State Warrior suites. Whatever. They're going to have corporate sponsors lining up to buy them always. We don't have that quite yet. But we do have butts to put in seats. I believe in that.
And I like the idea, with all due respect, that the Jazz aren't going to be the only show in town. Idea that you're going to have other opportunities in the winter to go check out a different sport. If you want to be a hockey fan and you want to be a part of sports, you don't have to go to Jazz games if you don't want to. If you're not a basketball person or the hockey team's better, go support the hockey team.
It's better for everybody. I mean, the more professional sports we have here, or relevant college sports, it's better for everybody. It's better for the community.
And it's apples to oranges of what's going on in Phoenix, because they have the four major sports teams, and one of them fell to the bottom.
And really to the bottom. And combine that with, and we can, you know, we can ask Dan about this coming up, but combine that with bad ownership. I mean, you're tostada.
And that the Suns have been particularly relevant for the last 5 years. I mean, they made a finals. They've had superstars on their team. The NFL is always the NFL. It's always going to be number one, regardless of what city it's playing in. And then the Diamondbacks just made the World Series. Like, you've had all this other success that has really hurt the Coyotes, in all honesty, because they were the low man, and they're going to jump up to Salt Lake City, and all of a sudden they're not going to be on equal footing with the Jazz ever. Maybe not ever, but not for a while. But they're going to come in and immediately take a huge piece of the cake, pie, whatever it is.
Yeah, but the idea is the pie is getting bigger. I mean, because Ryan's not going to bring something to town to compete with himself, you know what I mean? The idea is that there's going to be plenty of pie for everybody.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that's the apples and oranges comparison is, yes, right. There was so little to be had for the Coyotes in Phoenix, that's not going to be a problem here in Salt Lake.
I wouldn't think so. And honestly, the NFL dominates the landscape so much. I mean, we can ask Dan about this too, but I would guess their, as far as their radio inventory goes, if you think about like what we're talking about for how long, how often, the Cardinals have got to be, what, 60% of what they do more? More?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, especially the NFL is so year-round, and it just dominates. It's got to be all Cardinals all the time. Maybe mix in the Diamondbacks in the summer. The Suns have been there forever. I mean.
But what, you know what? The funny thing about the Suns is, and we can even, you know, we'll see how much time we have with Dan to talk about this. But, like, first of all, it was not that long ago they were being threatened to be moved out of Phoenix. I mean, that was within the last decade. There was a real push for an arena and the then owner wanting to move the team outside of Phoenix or leave entirely. And then second of all, I mean, you've heard Charles Barkley say it a lot because he spent arguably his best years of his career in Phoenix. Probably inarguably, that's where he did play his best basketball. He says he doesn't understand why Phoenix hasn't been more of a hotbed for basketball because it's a great place to live. It's a warm weather town in the winter. A lot of guys would like to play there, and they've never been able to do it. And probably part of that is because, yeah, it's a Cardinals town. It's always going to be.
They've been mismanaged.
Yeah, bad ownership.
Bad ownership.
If you were to have had Miller-quality ownership in Phoenix, there's a good argument they would have had a
title.
Well,
a lot of people tell you Colangelo was that, and Phoenix was good and relevant down there.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Charles Barkley years, but then Colangelo moved on.
Yeah.
So sold it to Sarver. Thanks for that. And now we'll see how Ishbia does. By the way, did you see the leaked voicemail of Ishbia to someone else in his org, but talking about what's his name in Cleveland and Rocket Mortgage?
Oh, I know that those two are beefing because they own the two biggest mortgage companies in the state or
in
the country.
Oh, man, and they do not like each other at all.
Dan Gilbert and Matt Ishbia.
Yeah.
Are rivals.
Ishbia used some pretty colorful language when describing his competition.
I both don't like Ishbia much, and I also really support that his idea is that this game needs to be accessible for everybody. And he's doing the same thing that Ryan's done. They've got a great streaming option. They've made free access to the games locally if you live in Phoenix, and I don't expect that to be the case either in Phoenix or Salt Lake forever. I don't know what the future looks like there, but I like that they have tried to make the games accessible for their fans. And so I support Ishbia in that sense.
I saw in some sort of publication, Jim Olsen was talking about Jazz Plus. Have we seen any numbers? Have we seen any? I mean, Jim said it's been successful, and I have no reason to doubt him. But have we seen any
concrete numbers?
Have we seen anything on how successful it has been?
I don't know what their goal was. So, right. Like, success is a different, maybe an interesting word to use. I have heard it's over 10,000 subscribers. I don't know what that means compared to projections or cost or what.
And I would guess KJazz's numbers are way better than they were on.
Of course, yeah.
On AT&T Sportsnet, right?
Yeah.
Just by simple distribution.
I mean, I have both. I have Jazz Plus and I have KJazz, and I watch them on KJazz.
I love it. The accessibility idea. I think it's a really hard thing. So that's why I'm curious, you know, what's the level of success? You bring up a great point. What's the, you know, what's the yardstick? Because even the mouse can't make money on streaming.
Let me tell you what's been most successful, and a hat tip to Caroline Klein and Jim and the people who have put that together. Like, that it works. Is this not working again?
Yeah, right.
You never get that. I haven't seen that at all this year. So hat tip to them as far as success goes. It's reliable. The price isn't changing. Like, game in and game out, it's worked. So that credit to them for that.
Because the world of media is just bizarre. I mean, like I mentioned, like Disney is getting cleaned up on streaming. I mean, I don't think people, 801, 424 Dish, I don't think people realized how good that model actually was. Like, for everybody, for consumers, certainly for networks, because with that model, whether people were watching your network or not, you still got paid for it.
Everyone ate.
Everyone ate, right? Yeah. And I would absolutely make an argument that consuming a variety of media was way easier before streaming. And I guess you could still have the old model to a certain extent, but I've gotten trapped in the different streaming service world.
Of course.
And it's bananas.
It's awful.
And no cheaper. And I have no idea what's on what.
Where to find what, whether you have it or not.
And
yeah, it's funny how often we try and reinvent the wheel. We just come back to what worked.
And I've got endless amounts of programming at my fingertips, but yet I can never find anything that I want to watch.
Never find anything to watch. I did it last night.
It's wild that this world that everybody was predicting was coming and going to be this big boon and you know, get on board or you'll get left behind. I don't know if it's much better.
Yeah.
In fact, for businesses, I think they'll tell you it's far worse. I mean, good for Ryan being about accessibility and getting his product out there. I admire that. But I'll tell you this, his accountant doesn't like it.
We have a streaming option. Don't be streaming reliant. I think that's what we've learned from the Pac-12. Have an option. Don't be reliant on it. Your only way to do it, you might be in trouble.
But they are reliant on it, the Jazz. I mean, because they're not making any money from KJazz, I'm guessing. They were making, I don't know, what was the price tag from AT&T Sportsnet every year? It was like $10 million. I mean, it was like...
More than that,
$20 million. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of dough. They're not making that from KJazz.
They're not making it from streaming.
So, like, your option of you got to find a hybrid, I don't think that's a solution. I don't think that exists. I don't think we know what the solution is.
No, nobody does. That's why the Jazz have done this thing. Again, to bring it back to our beginning of our conversation, they're doing the same thing with TV they've done with the Jazz roster and superstars and with bringing the Arizona Coyotes. Just put yourself in a spot where you're flexible. So when there is a solution, you're in line to do it.
Yeah. I'm not criticizing saying anything's wrong per se. I certainly understand what they're doing. And honestly, when the regional sports model disappears entirely, everybody's going to be in the same boat.
Yeah.
But I actually think the NBA does what Major League Soccer did. They'll pool everybody's.
It should all be on League Pass.
And the Knicks and the Lakers will come along kicking and screaming, but they'll eventually come along.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what has to happen.
They've got the infrastructure for League Pass, just remove blackouts.
So you just get rid of local broadcast basically entirely, which is what Major League Soccer has done.
Yeah.
Which I would hate to see.
But
I think that's inevitable.
Unfortunately. I think so too.
Hmm. All right. Stay tuned. Speaking of the Jazz, we have tickets to give away. Caller number 12 right now on a Jazz Ticket Tuesday, 801-575-ZONE. You're going to go see the Jazz and the Rockets, April 11th, the final home game. Tickets, we'll send them electronically via SeatGeek, 801-575-ZONE. Dan Bickley is going to join us. He's a columnist in Phoenix. He's also on 98.7 FM. We'll talk to him about the Coyotes possibly moving and what's the latest down in Arizona. Stay tuned, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Let's get right out to the zone phone. Joining us now, he is a columnist for ArizonaSports.com. He's also the co-host of a midday show on 98.7 FM in Phoenix. We're excited to have on Dan Bickley on Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Dan, thank you very much for a few
minutes.
How are you?
What's up, boys? How are you?
We're doing terrific. Hey, Dan, can I just ask you to catch me up on what's happened in the last 72 hours, because at one side I'm seeing, oh yeah, the Coyotes feel like they're going to buy new property and build this land, and then the mayor of Scottsdale says, yeah, what are you talking about? We haven't heard this proposal at all, and we're not interested. Where are we today as of 11:30 Mountain Time?
Well, it depends on who you ask, I think is the right way to answer that, but to answer it, I'll just have to give you a little backstory here. Going into this whole process, there is a piece of land that is going to auction at the end of June. The Coyotes are going to bid for it, but it is also about the primest acreage you're going to find in Arizona. It's kind of land near the McDowell Mountains. There's not a lot of this left. So this is not typical in situations like this because there are many, many roofless, very savvy developers in Arizona. Housing is sort of our number one industry. So this land is very, very, very valuable, and it's got the attention of a lot of people. And that has to be said as a backdrop. Because even though the Coyotes claim and believe that most of this plot of land has already been zoned for their purposes for an arena, there are many zoning issues that can arise, especially if there are people looking to dissent, if there are people politically motivated to dissent. So I think what we saw from the mayor of Scottsdale yesterday was some of the latter, where the mayor in very, very strong terms basically said the Coyotes are not welcome in Scottsdale. And this whole terrible journey that the Coyotes have been on for the better part of my entire life in Arizona occurred way back in the day when they won a referendum for an arena in Scottsdale, Arizona, and the city didn't trust the developer, said, prove it to us that you've got the money, and they headed out to Westgate on the west side, and it has been a picture of dysfunction ever since. So I think what you're seeing now is probably the beginning of some of those dissenting voices that may or may not derail the project, and not in terms of the Coyotes' ability to buy the land, but in terms of creating enough delays. If they can create obstacles, the NHL is about out of patience with this hockey team, as you guys well know, and so the clock is their biggest foe at the moment. People I talked to at the end of last week fully anticipated this sort of stuff to happen. And it might actually force the sale of our hockey team to your community. So that's basically where we're at. Just, you know, the political shenanigans have begun around this piece of land that's going up for auction. That's basically what's happened here.
So, Dan, as we've seen other franchises go through this in sports across the country, like in Sacramento, for instance, when the Kings were going through an ownership change and trying to get a building built, and, you know, I'm sure you remember all of that, the vibe in the community was desperate to keep the franchise, right? And that ultimately prevailed. I mean, he got Kevin Johnson elected mayor, and they eventually kept the Kings. So I hope this makes sense. But where's the community at on this? I mean, are they fighting to keep the Coyotes, or is it indifference? Or
yeah.
where's the community?
No, yeah. The answer is I don't know what you would scale it at. There's a small group of very, very loyal hockey fans who have stuck with this hockey franchise throughout a couple of decades of this. But you have to understand, this relocation game has been a part of this hockey team for almost two decades now, and people are tired of it. I think most casual sports fans in Arizona just want resolution, just want to know, is there going to be a future for this hockey team in Arizona, or is it going to be, you know, one thing after another? Like I said, you would have to have lived this on a year-to-year basis to understand how exhausting all of this has been to the common fan. And while I think there was a point in time in our history as a sports market that being a big league sports town, having all four major professional sports was something of value intrinsically and in terms of identity purposes, I don't know if that's any longer the case. I mean, the Valley where we live now, we host NASCAR championships. We host Super Bowls. We just hosted a Final Four. We've got a WNBA franchise. We've got everything here. So absorbing the loss of a major professional sports, I don't think it's going to hit this market the way it once might have. And along those lines, I just don't think this ownership group at the Coyotes, and because of the lack of success that the Coyotes have had over the years, you know, they don't have the political clout or the machinery, the juice to kind of get this done behind closed doors. And also, you know, the Coyotes have made one extended playoff run in 25 years or in 20 plus years. And that's not enough. If you're going to sell the sport of hockey to your community, you've got to give them playoff hockey. There's nothing like playoff hockey. The game is maybe 25 to 30% better than what it is during the regular season. And it's where people become addicted for life. And we haven't had any success. We've had nothing but dysfunction. The league and the commissioner has been very, very loyal to us at a price. People in Canada think he's insane for sticking with this market, but there's also a lot of falsehoods that fly around. if you give Arizonans a good hockey product and some stability, they will support a hockey team. I've seen it myself. There was a time when this team was back at the end of the late 1990s when they had Jeremy Roenick and Keith Tkachuk and other stars. They were a big deal in this town. And so it really is incumbent on the hockey team to give something of value back to the community.
Because we haven't covered a lot of hockey locally, how do hockey teams win? You know, and what I mean is comparing that to like a baseball team where you really, you know, you got to spend money to win. Basketball, obviously, what Matt Ishbia is trying to do with the Suns is you invest a lot in the roster. Do you rebuild in hockey? Do you just spend money to get stars like the Yankees do? Like, how do you build a winning program?
It's a really, really good question. You can circumvent the process with a really good goaltender. A goaltender can it's the second most important position in sports behind NFL quarterback. They can change your fortunes overnight if you get a really, really good one. And then there's a lot of hockey players. You can build the guts of a hockey team without a lot of money, and you can build a good one. There's a lot of good core competent hockey players. But what you find out is when you get near that Stanley Cup, you're dealing with hockey teams that can roll four great lines out at you in succession. That's when you need the requisite high end talent. Is if you're going to expect to get through the playoffs and actually lift that trophy, you really can't have any weaknesses on any line. So you can go in stages. You can circle. You can get good really quickly. I think we've seen expansion teams like Las Vegas come firing out of the gates. But those are some of the elements you need.
So this is just a sports radio nerd question for you. But when you're planning out your show, how do you divide your time? What's the kind of pecking order in Phoenix? Where do you spend most of your time? And, you know, how do you delineate?
Yeah. That's a very easy question to answer. Basically, right at the moment, we are now we hover over three major professional sports franchises for the longest time. It's really been the Suns. The Suns are our first major professional franchise. They've been here the longest. They actually have a generational link in the Valley, so they're always number one when they're good. Professional football and the Cardinals are always right there behind them, and now we've got a baseball team that made a very surprising and a very satisfying run to the World Series last year. So they're number three. So basically our world revolves around those three teams and then whatever major events seem to kind of break through and command mass interest.
Okay, well, let me ask you about the Suns since you brought them up, and obviously we're an NBA town here in Salt Lake City. What's the thought? What's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks? I mean, is this going to be a first-round elimination? Is there a hope that what we've seen in the last couple of weeks when they've been dealing with this insanely difficult schedule and they're, what, 4-2 to start these final 10 games?
Do they
make the run?
Your guess is as good as ours when it comes to this basketball team. We're 78 games into the regular season. Nobody really knows what their identity is, what they're made of, if you can count on them. I don't know. There's something off with this basketball team that has led them. They're not connected in ways that great teams always tend to be. They've been described as joyless on the court. They don't have a vocal leader, and they do not have a real traditional point guard. And as a basketball town, Salt Lake City knows better than anybody via John Stockton what it means to have a point guard. A point guard feeds everybody else. A point guard creates happiness because of their generosity. A point guard kind of connects everybody on the floor. One of the lessons I think the Suns learned the hard way is you really can't shortchange that element of it all. And yet they've got enough firepower where they've had nights when they've looked really, really dangerous. So I wish I had an answer for you. This basketball team has confounded all of us. And it's funny because it's fan appreciation night in Phoenix tonight. And the joke is, well, the fans do not appreciate being teased for 78 regular season games prior to this. So it's one of those roller coaster rides that, as has been said, you got to keep your hands inside the ride. Might get a little out of control.
Dan, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah,
thank you very, very much. And yeah, I hope you don't mind if we bug you as this story kind of unfolds.
You got it, fellas. All the best to you.
Hey, appreciate you. Thanks, Dan.
Radio guys.
Dan Bickley.
He's got the voice and everything.
Radio host, 98.7 in Phoenix, and columnist at ArizonaSports.com.
Yeah. Sister station. We've got friends down there. You know Ryan Hatch very well.
Yeah, I don't think Phoenix wants the Coyotes.
No, I
don't
think clearly.
They're obviously not going to fight for it, so I wonder if this is just inevitable. Listening to Dan, it feels like he thinks it's been inevitable for a long time.
Remember the team had to sell the last time because the owner strangled his wife? Like, it's a disaster, right?
No,
like, they've been a disaster.
That detail. Not a surprise you do.
So, what is that?
All your stuff goes to these gruesome ends. Whoa, like, did you know
that? Talking about peas in a pond. Yeah. Like, what?
Did you know there was a murder? No, I didn't know there was a murder, Ben.
So, they've been a disaster. And a thorn in the side of the NHL for a long time. And this new owner, here's the actual advantage, and you know, maybe you don't want to monopolize all these things. How many different owners are there in Phoenix now owning these different professional teams? Like, does the guy who owned the Cardinals also own the Diamondbacks? Because Ishbia doesn't own them.
I don't think so.
So do you have four different owners of four major sports? Like, that's hard. Like, I don't know if Ryan Smith would risk losing a hockey team once he has the Jazz here. Like, that would be difficult to do. And then you have, you know, ideally, Matt Ishbia would just say, yeah, we've got room for you to play in our arena, the hockey team, and we're all good. And that's why the Jazz are building this single location with the Delta Center to be able to host both. Like, that's what we've agreed to do. That makes it a lot easier to host a team as opposed to this Morello guy trying to go out and build a new area in the last spot where there's habitable housing or potentially whatever to develop in Scottsdale, as Dan just told us. Like, yeah, that makes it really hard. If you're going to be the worst owner, your team's going to suffer and then no one's going to care about you. Ryan Smith's going to own both teams locally.
Well, it doesn't sound like he's going to get that spot in Scottsdale.
No, it seems, you know, seems
if
like
the mayor doesn't
shot.
Want you, and there's going to be plenty of other people who are going to do something else with that.
Yes.
I don't think he's going to win.
It's one thing if that was a swamp that nobody wanted to move into and Walt Disney came in and said, well, I think I can develop it. They would say, heck yeah, go for it. If everyone wants this land, they're not going to give it to the hockey team that nobody supports.
But don't send Roy. We don't like that guy.
Don't need him.
Didn't Roy run Disney for a while after Walt's passing?
Yeah. Well, they got it all together. But Walt was the brains of the operation.
I suppose. Well, he came up with the
mouse.
Yeah, so that helps. Who bought ESPN? Was that Roy?
I don't know. Was Roy dead by then?
I have no clue.
Probably dead by then.
All right. Well, there's your Disney history lesson for the day. Big thanks to
Dan
for jumping on with us. We appreciate it. All right, stay tuned. We'll wrap up the show next. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
The Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies. These guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3,
on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Our 50 segment is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. It's time to get another qualifier for the Uinta Golf Major Giveaway. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We're going to assign you a golfer in this week's Masters, and if your golfer wins, you win that player's brand of driver, courtesy of our good friends at Uinta Golf.
Very cool.
Yeah, I love this promotion. It's a great promotion.
One of the fun things we do every tournament, really.
Apparently, every Scotty major. Scheffler can't lose, so I hope
our listener
gets Scotty Scheffler.
Tiger is golfing. Trying to make the cut for a record 24th straight time. So that's another issue, or that's what they're going to be talking about at least Thursday and Friday. Does he make the cut? Because two others have tied him at 23 straight cuts made.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing. Tiger draws eyes.
I know. And he's
I'll
not
watch Tiger.
Good anymore. So why would you watch Tiger?
He's still good. He's Tiger
you
Woods.
Just talked about him making the cut.
That's good.
Yeah, but since when do you focus in a tournament on somebody who's battling to make the cut?
I will tell you,
that's
as
not
a
good.
Casual, which a lot of people are, if Tiger Woods is playing on Saturday or Sunday, that increases the interest tenfold. In fact, I've got SportsCenter on the TV right in front of me. What does it say at the very bottom? Coming up in 6:14, Tiger Woods to discuss his trip to the Masters. It's like, he still draws. He's
well,
still
he shouldn't,
the draw.
Because he's not good anymore. So if you're in love with celebrity and that's why you're watching golf, I guess.
That's why we watch sports. It's why we watch sports.
He's not good.
That's why we watch sports.
I thought you told me that we're watching sports because so good, highest level and all that sort of thing.
No, I literally argued yesterday and 2 days ago that the best thing that's happened for women's sports and the idea that people are hammering Caitlin Clark is dumb. It's like the great thing about the WNBA coming up is we're getting stars going into the league. Every 2 years now. It used to be every 6 years or 8 years, and now we're getting borderline household names. I mean, Caitlin Clark is a household name. If you want to say Sabrina Ionescu wasn't, that's fine, but like we are getting to that point where there are multiple household names going into this next league every couple of years.
Well, that doesn't mean I have to enjoy watching an average golfer play golf.
No, you don't, but a lot of people will, including myself. Love watching Tiger. The nostalgia already baked into
you
it.
Love
he's still
watching
playing.
Tiger fail?
Making the cut's the exact opposite of failing. That's what we're talking about. He has 24th straight cut made.
No, he used to win the tournament, and now
so it's
we're talking about
bust.
Him making the cut?
Yeah. He's at that point in his career. He's
where
at
he
that
stinks.
Fun
exactly.
Point.
Where he stinks.
Making the cut at Augusta is not a qualification of whether you stink or not.
Comparatively speaking, it sure is.
Compared to him being at the best
no,
of his life, yes.
No, compared
to him being the greatest golfer of all time, yes.
No, compared to 150 other golfers also playing in the tournament.
That all are also fighting to make the cut.
Not compared to Tiger before. No, compared to like the best amateurs in the tournament who are probably better currently than Tiger Woods.
Who missed the cut last year?
Probably a bunch of old timers that still get invited to play, which Tiger is now.
DeChambeau missed it last year. Rory missed the cut last year. Rory.
Yeah, they
Rory's
suck.
The best player in the
And isn't that what we said?
Rory
That's
sucks.
What we said on okay. Monday after the Masters. Boy, Rory really sucked this weekend. Yes.
No,
yes,
you're
exactly.
You're implying that they can't play good golf anymore.
Well,
that's
Tiger
what you're implying with Tiger.
Tiger can't
Well,
play
you
good
can
golf
make
anymore.
The cut, and apparently that's good, because you just said Rory sucked because he missed the cut.
Exactly.
So Rory, we know Rory doesn't
But we
suck.
Were talking about
He's
Rory.
He's trying to win the career Grand Slam.
We were talking about Rory winning it all going into the tournament. We're certainly not talking about Tiger winning it all going into the tournament. We're talking about Tiger. Oh, can he make the cut?
Rory couldn't do it last year. Bryson couldn't make it last year. So it's not a nothing. It's not a nothing accomplishment.
Hanson, Scotty, you're coming up next. Stay tuned. Jake and Ben,
Thanks,
we'll talk
Sarah.
To you tomorrow on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.